WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. To listen to the music of Flying Lotus, Fly Low, is to know Fly Low, Flying Lotus, Stephen Ellison. It's personal, it's cool. He's got Erykah Badu in there, and Radiohead's Tom York, some Coltrane legacy, and Jay Dilla. But it's all Flying Lotus, electronic composer, master beatmaker, the hip sound out of L.A. He's with us this hour on Point. The music, the beats of Flying Lotus. You can join the conversation. Are you a Fly Low fan? And what do you hear in his beats, his electronic fantasy? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York today is Flying Lotus, born Stephen Ellison, producer, electronic composer, DJ. He's at the forefront of some of the coolest sounds coming out of Los Angeles these days in the L.A. beat scene. He's collaborating with Radiohead's Tom York, R&B queen Erykah Badu, Nicky Ronda, Laura Darlington, and plenty more. Founded his own record label, Brain Feeder, for other musicians like him. He's out with a new album, Until the Quiet Comes, and kicks off his international tour this week. On October 17th, he'll headline the annual CMJ Music Marathon in New York, streamed live around the world. Flying Lotus, Steve Ellison, welcome to On Point. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks. How you doing?
Just wonderful, thank you. And really happy to have you here. When the word got out that you were coming on, we got all kinds of calls in from L.A. saying, oh, that's great, Flying Lotus.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, definitely. Feels good.
It feels great. Listen, I'm looking here. You know Marianne Hobbs with the BBC One. She's been a big champion of yours and other electronic music.
Yeah.
And she says about you, she says, in the same way that Jimi Hendrix completely reinventing what you could do with a guitar, Lotus is reinventing what you can do with electronic tools. That is pretty high company, Ms.
That,
Hobbs.
That is. That's a really, really nice thing to say.
I would say so. So tell us, we can picture, because Jimi Hendrix, yes, it was electric, but it was still a guitar. And we all know, you know, we can see the body language. We can see a man with his guitar, you know, alone late at night working on riffs. When it's electronic tools, give us the body language of you when you're in your creative zone. Where's your mind? Where are your hands? What's the body language that brings us electronic creativity like yours?
I think it's more so the mindset. I think it's more so the mindset than anything else. You know, I really feel like maybe that's what she's speaking of, and maybe that's what people see, I guess. I think, you know, the things that I try to put into it are just very, I just try to bring the honesty to what I do and really try to, you know, I'm not really, when it comes to putting albums together, I don't really feel like I have to necessarily make stuff for clubs and, you know, for charts and for all that stuff. I just kind of do what I want to do and try to make things that, you know, reflect where I've been and, you know, my story, I guess.
How does that work? I guess what I'm trying to get at is people know what a guitar is and how you interact with it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have that same feeling for how you interact with a computer to make the music make. And it is cool and it's cerebral, but there's a lot of passion in there. So are you standing up? Are you sitting down? Are you, you got your feet up? How do you get ready for a jam session with a computer?
Well, it's different every time, and that's the fun part about it. You know, there's no real process. You know, it can change any time, any day, anywhere. You know, like it could start now with me just recording sounds in the studio. It could be, you know, being outside at a park and recording stuff, or, you know, in wherever. You know, it's funny to talk about it because I never think about it. You know, but the process is different, and I think that's why it's so fun. And, you know, I don't need to have a whole bunch of people around me, and I don't have to convince a whole bunch of people that I got a good idea. I can just zone out and make some things. You know, and it's it can be a really organic process. You know, it can be something that I pick at meticulously. But I think that for me, a lot of the fun comes from the accidents and the mistakes and the things that I didn't expect. You know, you record, you're recording a drummer playing something, and then all of a sudden he drops a stick, and then it hits the tambourine on the floor, and then that is a different rhythm that I can add and chop up.
And a new beat is born. You sample that, you capture that moment, and it is certainly not all solo. Flying Lotus is with us out of New York today, Mr. L.A. Here's just a little sample of what his music is all about. An early release off the new album, Until the Quiet Comes. Here's Flying Lotus in collaboration with Erykah Badu with See Through to You. Until the Quiet Comes, Flying Lotus and Erykah Badu. So, okay, take this one for example. Here, it's not just you and your brain and the samples that you pulled together. It's Erykah as well. How did this come to be?
I work with a bass player named Thundercat, and he's all over the album. He's actually here, too, outside this room.
Oh, great. Hello, Thundercat.
What up? Yeah, man. He plays in her band, and I produced his last record called The Golden Age of Apocalypse. And I think once she got a listen of it, she just hit me up immediately. And I think Questlove also mentioned that she and I needed work together. And, you know, we just got together.
So you've got this beat rolling through here. And when she comes in, what did she listen to then respond to? Or were these things made simultaneously? Or you had her listen, Erykah listen to a track, and then she began to sing over it? How's it work?
Yeah, we actually had this track ready, like maybe the day that she arrived. We just kind of finished the groundwork of the track. And, you know, she came through and she laid some things out, and then, you know, we all kind of you know, contributed ideas to what she should do, and you know, we did a few things, but she nails the takes every time. You know, she's one of those artists who you don't really have to, you know, you don't have to work hard to make her sound good. You know, she just sounds great out the gate.
It's a great sound. Here you are. You know, you're the man behind it, Flying Lotus. What are you visualizing as you put this together, or are you? Do you have actually a visual image, or is it just an emotion, a mood? Is it just a you know, some little bit you catch and then just elaborate on? How's it work?
It depends on the song. You know, sometimes I can see a whole story. I can see a whole movie play out in front of me. And sometimes it's just a feeling. And you know, I really love hearing what other people have to say when they hear it, because you know, sometimes we see the same things. You know, for example, yesterday I did a talk at the Apple Store, and a guy described described the music exactly how I saw it in one instance, and it was really, really funny, and it made me crack up for a few minutes.
He was responding to one of your tracks, and you'd drawn him onto the same beam you were on when it came out.
Yeah. It was like, okay, you get it. It works. I'm doing something okay here. We're getting through to each other. So,
how do you picture your listeners? Do you picture them dancing? Do you picture them with headphones on at home? Some song for one, some for another.
Yeah, I hear different things. You know, some people are like, oh man, this makes me really nervous. I don't know. You know, and some people are like, oh, I sleep to this album, you know. So I get the range of it, you know, and everything in between, from dancing to studying to, you know, reading to making love and, you know, all that stuff. They get the whole range of it, and that's so fun.
Do you know at the top of a track when you set out to create one, whether it's going to be let's say a club track that people are going to end up dancing to, or it's going to be some kind of cerebral journey or does it just unfold as you build it?
Yeah, funny. It's you know, sometimes I'll go out the night before and I'll hear some stuff that's just like super banging and loud and bassy. I'm like, oh man, I gotta make something like that when I go home, you know. And then I get home and then just make ambient tunes or whatever, you know. And it's totally out of my control, man. I just like to roll with whatever energy is happening in the studio and not really try to force anything out, because I know it when I hear it, you know. And yeah, I don't really like to say where it's going.
Oh, that's
fine. I like to let it you know, reveal itself in the process show me.
We like that too, and we're really glad you're with us. Flying Lotus is here, producer, DJ, electronic composer. Behind us right here, The Night Caller, off his brand new album, Until the Quiet Comes. Listeners, you can join us. Are you a Flying Lotus fan? What's the thing he does, the Lilo magic? What's the secret to understanding, appreciating a master beat maker? Is this the sound of your club, your party, your mind? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK with Flylo. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. I'm talking today with producer, DJ, and electronic composer Flying Lotus, Flylo, originally Stephen Ellison, about music, now his music, and where it's going. Behind us, all the secrets off his new album, Until the Quiet Comes. A little bit of Radiohead influence there, maybe. We'll talk about that later. He's big, big, big in L.A. and way beyond now. Joins us today from New York City. You can hear excerpts from his new album at our website, onpointradio.org. And you can join us right here. Are you a Flying Lotus fan? What is that thing he does? First-time Flylo listeners, what do you hear? Does he catch you? Does he get into your head? What's your question for Flying Lotus? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Flylo, there in New York. Here's we've got wonderful names flying around today. Astra Spider has a question for you from online. Says, would love to hear Flylo talk about geography, what the L.A. scene means to him, the Shadow London cast on everything now with the rise of dubstep, Berlin, music and geography. Talk to us, Flylo.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like when I first started getting on in the scene in L.A., I got into a really strange argument with a friend, because he said that, you know, people from L.A. make music like they got flip-flops on, you know, and I was really, that really frustrated me for so long, because I didn't believe that to be true at all.
Meaning that, too casual or sloppy, yeah, or not really put together, or...
Exactly. Exactly that, you know, just like, just because we have the sunshine all the time, that's just kind of, you know, our whole prerogative, you know. And after a while, I actually started to see that there was some truth in that. But I, you know, okay. I don't see it as a bad thing anymore. You know, I just see that, you know, because we have so much access to the sun, that it definitely it changes the music a little bit. I do believe that, you know, the geography does make a difference somewhat in what we do. I know that if I lived in London, I probably would sound different. I don't think it would necessarily be just quote unquote dubstep producer or whatever. But I feel like if I was, you know, in a place where it was raining and gray all the time, that it would definitely play a part in my sound.
Does LA make it cool, or do you have to be cool to make it there? Or how does cool come in here? Does LA still define something cool? I mean, there's so many ways to, you know, to describe music.
You know, not everything in LA is cool, man. Yeah. You know, yes. I think that it just depends on who you're dealing with, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's cool everywhere. I don't know, though.
Hey, 2007, one of your first songs to really take off appeared as bumper music in a promo for the Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. People may remember it. Let's play just a little bit of that. This was a massage situation. Flying away. Massage situation. Man, that can really move. It feels like a brain massage right there. I don't know if that's how you intend it. Between the beat and that long cymbal, I guess, in the middle of it. So, you know, it's like when somebody does that thing with their fingers over the top of your head and down the side. Schwa. It's getting back there now. What were you going for, 2007?
Oh, man, I think I was just having so much fun. You know, I feel like back then, I hate to say it, but I didn't really imagine anything happening, you know? I think that there was something really awesome about that because I was just creating without pressure and creating things without thinking about the outcome or money or survival, whatever. It was just like something to do for fun. And, you know, there was a few people who cared about it at the time, but it wasn't a big thing happening, you know? It was just something that I did in my grandma's house, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just that. And I had so much fun kind of creating my own little universe that, you know, I didn't think anyone cared about at the time, you know? So, I mean, the track was older than, you know, it was done way before 2007, I think.
That's just too, when so. We got to hear a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Wow, that is majestic, and we love it. It's amazing how people invest this music. They come to it, and, I mean, here's a comment from Kobe. Now, take this on board. Here's a big thought. She goes to your sampling. I mean, you had your drumstick falling and, you know, hitting the floor, hitting the tambourine. You capture that and do something with it. Kobe writes to us online. She says, sampling introduced a radically new way to think of music and society as a whole. As Kurt Vonnegut would say, DJs become unstuck in time when they choose any piece of music, regardless of genre or era, to work into a greater collage. And then we really get big here. Kobe says, if you're looking for an end to false choices between freedom, socialism, government, business, look to the beatmakers, turntablists, and mashup artists. If politicians were as good at cherry-picking from history as Girl Talk, J Dilla, and Flying Lotus, we'd be much better off. Wow, you're on a grand stand now. How about that?
Wow.
Unstuck in time, there is a piece of that in here. I mean, you can take something from anybody, anywhere, and massage it in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most fun of the whole process is that, you know, you can take something that, you know, even a subtlety from something recorded ages ago and turn it into something, you know, for kids today. And, you know, I hope that in time that, you know, everything changes so drastically, people start looking to my music for samples and trying to record it and trying to make something of it of their own. Yeah, hopefully it all just continues and continues.
With sampling, it's pretty much guaranteed to do that one way or another. Flying Lotus is with us. We've got lots of callers for you. Charlotte, North Carolina. William is on the line. Hi, William. You're on with Flylo.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Very well.
Well, I just wanted to talk to Flying Lotus about, I mean, I've heard his music all over. I heard him, the first time I heard him was Adult Swim, I believe.
Hey.
And Adult Swim plays his music a lot. And then the second track, they had the Adult Swim singles released with Earl Sweatshirt. It was Between Friends. And I don't know, something about that track just got me stuck on Flying Lotus, and I've been listening to his tracks and his beats. ever since. I mean, he has so many great features and so many great artists that come to collab with him that it's just ridiculous. And everything that he does is just, I don't know. It's just great.
Thank you.
You got a stone cold listener there in Charlotte. It's good to hear, William. We're going to think more about what makes it worm its way in so well. Appreciate your call. One more, Bobby in Pasquag, Rhode Island. Bobby, you're on with Philo.
What up?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
What I enjoy so much about Flying Lotus's music and electronic dance music in general is that sounds that suck. Like something made on the computer, you know, obviously not organic, not a physical instrument, can sound so organic and cerebral. You know, anything from the sound of like chains falling on the ground to raindrops to wind, like you can take that and transform it into something that sounds so natural from something that essentially is a computer.
Hmm. Yeah, is not strings on a guitar neck. It's not drums with the animal skin stretched.
But at the same time, those things do exist within the music. You know,
because
it's
you're
not,
taking
it's not,
pieces of organic sound.
Yeah, and recording instruments. You know, there's a lot of acoustic instruments in the albums. You know, there's all samples as well. But you know, there is still that element. You know, the actual acoustic instruments. But, you know, let's not forget that, you know, all these keyboards are computers too. You know, all these, you know, beat machines from the past, all these drum machines are all computers, you know.
Do you make a distinction when you're composing between those very electronic sounds that we associate with traditional electronic music, you know, and the acoustic, the organic? Do you say, oh, we need a little more nature in here, or we need a little more electronica, or do you just see it as one big palette of sound?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, sometimes I feel like I get in the mindset of, you know what, whatever, it's just going to only be, you know, this synthesizer. And I'm going to even make the drums out of a synthesizer. You know, sometimes it's like that. But then sometimes you get in the situation where it's like, this sounds too computery. You know, how do we break it up and open it up and make it more lush and visual for people? You know, I always think about the music when I'm in the studio and I have my monitors, my sound monitors in front of me. You know, I always imagine how everything needs to be is like behind me. You know, the sound needs to be so big that I can hear it all around me from behind, like there's someone whispering in my ear. So, you know, it just needs to be, you know, I guess whatever it calls for in that day. You know, sometimes it has to be organic, you know, and I won't use any you know, external instruments. And, you know, sometimes it's just computers.
I want to think about your influences a little bit. Sure. One of hip-hop's big artist producers, Jay Dilla, big for you, worked with acts like Tribe Called Quest and Busta Rhymes, Madlib, Ghostface Killah. I mean, when you DJ, you don't use vinyl. When you listen back to him, you can hear, you know, the scratching the vinyl over the beat. Let's listen to a little bit and think about his influence on you, maybe. This is one of his more traditional hip-hop tracks. You can hear him scratching that vinyl. This is Jay Dilla with Last Donut of the Night on his 2006 album, Donuts. Jay Dilla, Last Donut of the Night, influence on Flying Lotus. How'd it work? What's the transmission from him to you, Flylo?
It's actually pretty funny. I was producing music when I was 15. I started a long time ago, and you know, when I was doing that back then, I was really obsessed with Dr. Dre. You know, I was really, you know, he was the champion of the West Coast, and you know where I'm from, and it was just that sound. And eventually I you know, stopped making music when I went to school, and I started getting back into it when I started hearing guys sampling like really crazy records. You know, like when I started hearing LP and Madlib and Dilla, you know, those guys and many more, they were doing things with records that I hadn't heard much of. And I think more than anything, it was that was really inspiring. It was just the way that they were chopping this old music and making it feel brand new and making it feel like, you know, wait, isn't that the way it was meant to sound when they recorded these original things, you know? Mm-hmm. And that to me really blew my mind. And obviously it was just so funky too. It just made sense. I don't know. I feel like the difference in the eras or just it was so different, you know, because, you know, these guys they come from a different universe where when I was really starting to produce, it wasn't cool to make music on a computer. You know, mm-hmm. it was, mm-hmm. if you were using software, people looked at you like, what, for real? Like when mm-hmm. I first started getting on, I was ashamed of telling people how wow. I made music.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Because they're like, oh, you don't use an MPC, you know, mm-hmm. like Dilla and like all these mm-hmm. other people. Like, nah, man, I used to play Half-Life on the computer, you know, all the time. So it was like,
so video game music comes right in there as well.
Yeah, and just being, you know, a technical person, you mm-hmm. know, I was really gravitating towards that computer thing. You know,
thoroughly modern, always, man, maybe even postmodern. Let's hear it. Here's a title track off Until the Quiet Comes, Flying Lotus. Until the Quiet Comes. What a great kind of hand clap sound there. Now, is that real sampled hand clap, or is that something you made?
Yeah, that's me and Thundercat clapping at the mic.
Man, that is some... Yeah, there it is right there. Thank you. Thank you again, Thundercat. We know you're there in New York. That is great. And I hear some of that J. Dilla sort of beat there in the background. A little chaos, a little melody, wonderful beat. That is fine. That is really great. We're going to take a short break coming up here. I want to talk about Alice Coltrane as well. They're in your family tree. Maybe a little bit of her in this piece as well. It's so great to have you with us. Steven Ellison is here. Flying Lotus, Fly Low out of Los Angeles. We've got a lot of callers backed up for you. We will come to them. Listeners, you can join us in this hour. First time Fly Low listeners, what do you hear? Does he catch you? Does he get into your head? What's your question for Flying Lotus? Musicians, what's your shout-out, your questions for all? How do you think about, feel about electronic music? How do you think about it, feel about it when you hear Flying Lotus? The new album is Until the Quiet Comes. You can hear more excerpts at our website, onepointradio.org, and you can join us at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Fly Low, please stand by. This is Hunger off the new album with Nicky Ronda. Guitar by Johnny Greenwood, Radiohead, and of course, Flying Lotus. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with producer, DJ, and electronic composer Flying Lotus, Flylo. Originally Stephen Ellison, about music. Now his music, where it's headed. You can join us at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. He's out with a new album, Until the Quiet Comes. This is the track Getting There, featuring Nikki Ronda. Right there, very nicely. Wow. Joins us today from New York, and you can join us as well. 800-423-TALK. What do you hear in this music? Is this the sound at your club, your party, the sound in your mind, whether you've ever heard it before or not? 800-423-8255. Get a caller from your town, Flylo. Ben is calling from Los Angeles, California. Ben, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, Ben, hi, welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be here.
Hey, Ben Offenberg, wonderful to have you. Thanks for calling in. What's your question, Ben?
Hey.
Well, you know, how's it going, Flying Lotus, first and foremost?
Oh, man, so good. You good?
I'm good. It's good to be in Los Angeles. Just had a few questions for you. I'm a music supervisor, so I work for a company called Jingle Punks, and we place music on all sorts of media and TV and
get
film.
Get me a job.
Get you a job? I'd love to work with you. But the truth is, I'd love to know, do you aspire to work more with film? I think your music has such a cinematic vibe to a lot of it, that quality.
Get me a job, bro.
Hook him up, Ben. Hook him up.
I would love to.
What about a fly, though?
Is that something you see yourself doing? I know I watched the Until the Quiet Comes trailer video, and there was something magical about the quality of the music and the footage, and I'd love to know more about the inspiration behind that.
Yeah, and I should say for our listeners, Ben Flylo, you can see that at our website, the trailer for this new album. The trailer itself is really something. I mean, it's a very, very evocative piece of urban film work. What about how you think about video and your music, Flylo?
I am a big fan of cinema. You know, when I was in, I went to film school, and you know, I thought that was going to be where I landed. But, you know, with this album specifically, you know, I really wanted to make sure that we set the tone for people visually before they got the record. I wanted to make sure that, you know, the first thing that people heard or saw was, you know, something that really brought people into the spirit of what I was trying to do, you know. And I had to reach out to Khalil Joseph, who's the filmmaker behind the short. And, you know, he came up with the concept, and, you know, after I kind of told him what the album meant to me, and, you know, it just kind of became this beautiful piece of work that I'm just super proud to be a part of.
It is very beautiful, but tell us about what you told him that led to him filming this. I mean, it's very beautiful. It's also very stark. I mean, you've got this empty swimming pool in L.A. and a boy there, and the pool filling with blood. You got some stark images.
You got spoilers. You're spoiling.
No, it doesn't take long. You don't wait long to see that. You don't wait long to see that.
Yeah.
So what was the message that he picked up to make this your trailer?
Well, you know, The title suggests a lot of things, and you know, one of the more obvious things that people take from Until the Quiet Comes is death and life and death, and you know, I feel like that's a piece of what I was going for with that. But you know, Khalil suggested that I do not try to explain the video to people and interpret it as
let
they
the art
as they
speak
should.
For itself.
Yeah.
Ben in L.A., we're glad for your call. Maybe you two can connect, and we'll get to hear a lot more of this music behind some
Ben, give me a
beautiful
job,
visuals.
Bro.
Maybe that will happen. Can we talk family for a minute? Because I know
absolutely.
In the time leading up to this album, life and death, and we all face it, and you did with your mom, I think, during the time you were doing some of these tracks.
Yeah. Back in 2008, right around when I was getting Cosmo Grandma together. My mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And maybe a few years before that, my Aunt Alice She passed away as well. And, you know, it seemed like it just, I can't escape that, man. It just keeps following.
No one can.
You know, I feel like for the majority of my life, I was able to, you know, not deal with it so much. And then when it started happening, it was just waves, you know, just heavy, heavy waves. And really made me just, you know, reevaluate things and put it all in perspective. And it really affects my music. I don't know why, you know, something I don't intend on, you know, I don't try to make it reflect, you know, life and death. It just happens, you know.
Well, there's two sides to that, and the life part we see loud and clear as well, and the kind of influence part. You mentioned your Aunt Alice Coltrane. This is John Coltrane's wife and quite a musician, very much in her own right. I want to think a little bit about influences again with you, if we could. This is a piece from her.
Sure.
This goes way back, 1972. This is not your music, but it's up in the family tree, and I know you spent time with her. This is Sri Rama Onedarut, or something, so words to that effect, off her Lord of Lords album from Alice Coltrane. We've got the great nephew with us. Here's the music. Okay, there it is, very orchestral. She had this influence out of India. She was an acolyte of Sai Baba, who I knew much of him back in the day. What did you learn at her knee? And I don't know, and John and that whole realm, free jazz and the rest.
For me, it was just part of my life. You know, I grew up in that as my church. You know, that experience was very normal for me. I don't really know much else, you know.
Where would you hear the music? Would it be on a turntable? Would it be live somewhere? How did you interact with it?
Well, the majority of my life, my aunt was really just in her spiritual studies, and that was really all she cared about.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't really pursuing music or anything.
The jazz piano, the harp player, that was behind her at that point.
It was, you know, she would play sometimes at her ashram and sometimes at festivals, you know, that were dedicated to John Coltrane and his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it wasn't necessarily about her as a musician. It was, you know, everyone just wanted to talk about John all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and later point in her life, she started working on an album called Translinear Light, and that was the one that I was a witness to.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see more of her in her musical form. And, you know, it was really, really inspiring to just see, you know, the musicianship from someone who really didn't, you know, practice much. Yeah, it was just so embedded in her, in her DNA or something. It's just amazing. But yeah, I think that after she passed away and I really sat with her music, I really started to just connect on a level. And not just because it's my family or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It just,
mm-hmm.
there was something about what she was trying to do with her music. And I really said, you know, I think that was something that I wanted to try and pursue as well. You know, it wasn't something that was, I mean, I was at a crossroads, man, like, especially when I was doing the Cosmogram album, there was mm-hmm. all this acclaim and all this, you know, attention, and people were curious, like, what's he going to do next? And it was like, I could either go the route of, some of the bigger people, you
what,
know,
more or I poppy, could, you mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could have went in that direction, mm-hmm. or I could have went in the direction of, you know, my family, you know, history, you know, like what they were trying to do. And I when I was sitting with this album that you just played in particular,
Lord of Lords,
sat with that in my apartment in Northridge, and, you know, I said to myself, you know, like, this is what I want to do. I want to tell these stories with my work. I want to be able to take people to these places, you know.
Wow.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'll always think that, but yeah, hey, I think
we're glad for the time that you are. A little Alice Coltrane being channeled there, a little John woven through John Coltrane. Hey, let's listen. We'll think about it for ourselves. Here we are talking about Next Change, new album, Until the Quiet Comes, here with Tom York of Radiohead. This is from Flying Lotus, Electric Candyman. Electric Candyman off Until the Quiet Comes. Flado, I can hear Lord of Lords flowing right in there. It's not a big leap. It's not a big leap to hear it. And Tom Thanks. York as well. That's great. Tom York, who famously sampled this show on point on the Colbert Report. We love that. We love him right here with you. Tandiwe in New Orleans. You're on the air with Flying Lotus. Thanks for calling, Tandiwe.
Hi, how are y'all doing today?
Very well. Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I am a musician, singer-songwriter, and I'm getting more into using electronic sounds. Not more than my instrument, but being a female, I'm very sure it's a lot easier, I find, to lay down a track than trying to carry my keyboard and my guitar around at nightclubs.
Okay, it's so convenient. Okay.
I just wanted some tips on how to, like, infuse the live instruments, whereas my vocals, my background vocals, it's just any tips you could give me would be awesome.
It's hard to give tips without a point of reference. You know, I don't really know what you do, but I think that it's all experimentation. You know, don't be afraid to make the mistakes. What I like to do is I just like to leave the record on, you know, and just play around for who knows how long, you know, and just you can take from that things that work and turn it into something else. And, you know, I'll record a synthesizer, you know, for like 5 minutes, me just fiddling around with it. And then, you know, I'll take a little chunk of it and turn it into a different synthesized loop and then mess with that. And it becomes something that you had no idea. You know, I just say, like, leave room for the experimentation and for the happy accidents.
Leave room for all that. Here, Adam writes to it. He says on Facebook, says layering. What do you tend to start with? How do you decide what's too much versus not enough?
Huh. It depends on what you're working with. It depends on the day. You know, you can. I like to sometimes build textures out of voices, or, you know, just ambience. Any kind of, you know, nature loops that I find. You know, there's in that Electric Candyman song, there's some birds that I recorded in Melbourne that I looped up, and they became part of the song. And that was the first thing probably that got laid down on the track, and then maybe the percussion and whatnot. But, you know, I think that that's all intuition. You know, it's all intuition. Yeah. It's all what your spirit is trying to say. I think that, you know, we should try not to overthink the process and just try to, you know, remember that we're just kind of vessels for this information that's happening, and just try to play our part in it instead of, like, trying to, use just all your ego in the making of the music. Just,
oh, wow.
Don't be afraid to let it happen. You know?
That's great. I hear some Sai Baba right there, some Alice Coltrane right there, and a lot of Flying Lotus. Tandiwe, good luck with that. Let's hear another track. This is a different upbeat, real up-tempo, a Putty Boy strut off Until the Quiet Comes. Putty Boy strut, beat maker, puts on the strut. Rich in Boston, you're on with Flylo. Thanks for calling, Rich.
Pleasure. Hi. Quick question.
Yeah.
Have you had any influence from Tamita?
Absolutely.
Isao Tamita.
Absolutely.
What, they just got an electronic version of Debussy or something. Snowflakes Are Falling, something.
Oh, man. Yeah, he did. He did. He did a lot of stuff like that. He did a version of Claire de Lune that I really love. I think I've sampled a million times. It's the playing in that. It's so beautiful. And don't tell anybody.
Well, no. Is Tamita, is he out of Japan, out of L.A.? Do you know?
Isao Tamita, I think he's Japanese. He's a Japanese composer. I don't know. Is he still alive?
I don't know, but if he is, we wish him well. And Rich knows you're on to him.
I think he's still alive. Yeah. I think he made a few records on vinyl, and those are like staples for any producer. I think, you get his records for like a dollar in the dollar bin, but they have that
feed you for
sound.
Life.
Yeah.
Do you just pick up all the time? I mean, today, will you pick up half a dozen different sounds for sampling, or is it more rare than that when something gets into your satchel and sticks?
You know, when I travel, I think that I get more concerned about my live show. Maybe more than I should. You know, I probably should be recording more stuff since I'm here in New York. But, I really do think that it's nice to just experience things without recording things and filming things all the time. It's nice to just breathe in the air and not really, think about all the music so much and try and, balance it out with being a regular human.
Be there right in the moment. It's been so much fun to be right there with you today. Flying Lotus out of Los Angeles, today in New York. Kicks off his international tour this week on October 17th. Catch him on the annual CMJ Music Marathon. You can stream it live at npr.org/music. Flying Lotus, many thanks to you for being with us today. Thanks. It's just been great.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Seriously, thank you so much.
Thank you. Stephen Ellison, Fly Low, Flying Lotus. Wonderful. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.